All right, tonight I'll be reading you from New King James Version, John chapter 2:1-11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. The master of the feast had tasted the water that was made with wine, and did not know where it came from. But the servants knew had drawn the water to the water knew the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man of the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have drunk the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs of Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and the manifest of his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you for being able to get through that before time for us to go. Proud of our kids. They're doing a great job. And hopefully, as was mentioned in the prayer this evening, that they'll remember these things for a long time. And so we're continuing to talk about those. We've been using the Kids Sing cards and the items on them to be the basis for our lessons each night. I just thought that would be a good way to keep a connection with what we've been covering. And so in our previous lesson, which was from John 1, according to the Kids Sing card, Jesus is God, our Creator. And in that lesson, we talked about these things, that it was in the beginning. And in the beginning, it says that Jesus was, that Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And then it also tells us that all things were created by Him. And in another text, it says not only that, but they were created for Him. And that was the essence of our lesson. But if you continue in John chapter 1, John the Baptist becomes now the focal point a little bit. And in that, he mentions on multiple occasions, as Jesus is walking by or coming close to where he is, to those who would hear him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And among those who saw that were these 4 men who are known as some of Jesus' apostles: Andrew and his brother Simon Peter, and Nathanael and Philip. And by the end of chapter 1, they all believed that Jesus was the Christ. So they believed on him then. Then tonight's lesson is from John chapter 2, the first 11 verses, as you figured out, water to wine. Now I want to say before we get into the lesson that I'm not going to spend any time talking about why the wine in this picture is grape juice instead of fermented wine. That's a lesson for another time. But we are going to examine the text and then think about some questions that came to me that I think are interesting for us to ponder. Not that I can give you the direct answer to very many of them, but the interesting things that we can think about in this lesson. So as we go through the text, it begins telling us that there was a marriage that was taking place in a village or town, Cana, which is located in Galilee, which was north of the area where Jerusalem was. Jesus' mother was there. It doesn't tell us why she was there, other than perhaps she was invited. Although, maybe, she might have had something to do. I've had to officiate several weddings and sing in some others. And in those, there's always that one woman that's sort of in charge, because if you don't have that, then the rehearsals are an absolute chaos. And so maybe Mary had something to do along that line. I don't know. It just doesn't tell us, but she was there. It also lets us know that Jesus and his disciples, and at least these four then that were named in John chapter 1, would be among them, that they were also invited, but they didn't come right away. Their appearance was a little bit after it had been started. And in fact, when they got there, Mary said to them, "They have no more wine." Now, Jesus responded to her in a way that almost, especially in the King James, seems like he was kind of rebuking her. What does that have to do with me? He said. My time is not yet come. I think that this little dialogue is very interesting in the questions that we can ask about all of that. Immediately after that, it says that she told the servants who were there in to do the servile things for this wedding feast, she said to them, "Whatever he," meaning Jesus, "tells you to do, you do it." Another interesting thought for us to consider. And then they did. The version, the New King James, gives the description of how big those water pots were in a better way than the King James, which uses the word firkins, that we have no idea what that means. But it was gallons of that would fill up one of these, and they filled them up to the brim with water. And then Jesus said, "You start drawing it out and giving it out," and it was grape juice. And the host, when he tasted that, you notice what he said, something along this line. Typically, they bring out the good stuff first, and then when everybody's had a good bit to drink, then they bring out the inferior stuff because they're not going to know the difference. Because your taste buds get satiated and you just quit discerning that taste so much. But he said that this is better than that which we started with. So it must have been some amazing juice that Jesus had provided. Now, it tells us in the text that this was the beginning of his miracles, the first public miracle that he did. And it also mentions that his disciples believed on him. Now, from that, I want us to consider these questions or statements, these just thoughts that I had. Number one, let's focus on Mary's request of Jesus. When he said to her, "What does that have to do with me?" How did she know that he could do anything? You ever think about that? If this is the first miracle, the first sign, how did she know that he could do anything? I know this. I know she knew he didn't have a pocket full of money where he could go off into the village and buy more wine, grape juice, and bring it and serve it that way. That wasn't what she was asking him to do. So she must have had some idea that there was something he could do that would solve this problem, that they were out of wine. So how did she know? I thought about that. I thought about how possibly could she know that. Perhaps it had to do with all the circumstances involving Jesus' conception, his birth, and things that happened as he was growing up that made her think that. If you recall that when she was told in Luke chapter 1, that she was going to be with child, even though she had not known her betrothed husband Joseph yet, but she was going to have a baby. And it was explained to her that the Holy Spirit was going to do that for her. Even mentions in there about her cousin Elizabeth in her old age also was going to have a baby, and that was already 6 months on the way. And so, and the angel said, and this is one of the few places where the angels are named, Gabriel, said, "All things are possible with God." So maybe, you know, there's that. Then there's Joseph wanting to put her away because he wasn't privileged to know what was going on at the beginning. And he was pondering about whether to divorce her because of her unfaithfulness when he also was appeared to and told him not to do that, that this was coming from God and that there was a purpose in all of this. And of course, then the events during the time that they brought forth the baby Jesus and laid him in that manger, and the shepherds who came and were rejoicing over what was going on. Or maybe then when we get to something a little bit later, when Jesus was 12 years old, and a statement that he made to her regarding why he wasn't with his mom and dad when they left. Or instead of pondering all these things and wondering, maybe she had seen something, but it doesn't give us any indication she'd ever seen anything. Because there's no indication he'd ever done anything before now. Or maybe it somehow it was revealed to her, much as this other. But somehow she knew Jesus could do something about the lack of wine that was in that feast. So then there's his response to her, which in the King James also seems really terse and curt to his mother. It seems at least that it was a mild rebuke. But whatever it wasn't a sin. Even though, you know, in Exodus 20, when you go through the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment was honor thy father and thy mother. If he had been disrespectful to her, not honoring her, he would have been worthy of being stoned to death, because that was the penalty for children disrespecting their parents. Under that law, Jesus never sinned. Hebrews 4:15, he's never sinned. So, what was it? Perhaps it was similar to when he was 12 years old, when Mary and Joseph and others had traveled together to Jerusalem on one of those yearly treks. And when it was time to leave, they left. And nobody really thought about where was Jesus. And they got 3 days outside of Jerusalem before they noticed that he wasn't there. Of course, they had to turn around and go back. And where was he when they found him? He was in the temple, talking with those elders, those knowledgeable men. And when his parents rebuked him over that, he said, "Don't you know I need to be about my father's business?" Maybe all of these things. You know, it tells us on multiple occasions that Mary took these things and pondered them in her heart. I must be about my father's business. I know this, it was not Mary's job to instruct him in when to perform a sign. That was between him and his father. Not Joseph, but God. And so that was certainly not the case. So he was direct with her, of course, but not disrespectful. He just needed to remind her that he had to be. He knew that things were done in God's plan at the time that God intended for it to happen. And that's why he said that to her. And then there's her instructions to the servants. Really one of the key points in this lesson. The instructions to the servants was this: whatever he says, you do it. Whatever he says, you do it. So how does that apply to us today? Whatever Jesus says, is it optional if we're going to be God's faithful children, or do we have to do it? Because certainly we have these texts that Jesus spoke, or that somebody spoke about him. John 8:31-32, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now that's pretty plain and simple. Continue in my words, then you're my disciples. So if you don't continue in his words, you won't be his disciples. Or in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now whatever Jesus said was the will of God, because he didn't speak on his own. "My doctrine is not mine own. I speak from the Father." The same was true about the Holy Spirit when it came to direct those inspired men. He didn't speak of himself, but he told them what he heard from the Father. And then there's Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 talking about Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, you do. That is still true for us today. Whatever Jesus has told us to do, we should do. Because that's the only way we could be in the right relationship to God through him. And then there's this question. Who actually knew what Jesus had done at that wedding? We don't have any idea how many people were there. It doesn't tell us, but I bet it was a lot. Because they drank all of the original set, however many gallons of grape juice were provided at the beginning. It was all gone. Jesus knew. Because he did it. His disciples, the ones that were named in John chapter 1 for sure, Andrew and Simon Peter and Philip and Nathaniel, they all knew because they were there watching him. His mother must have known because she brought it up in the first place. And the servants knew because they did it with him. They're the ones that drew it out. They filled the water up in those water pots and then they drew it out so that people could taste it. Outside of this, we don't know that anybody else knew because Jesus didn't always do things for everybody to know. But these people knew. And then it tells us that his disciples believed. But as I pointed out in the beginning in John chapter 1, we already know that they believed that he was the Messiah because of the discussion that is at the end of John chapter 1. So this was not their initial belief that Jesus was the one, but rather this event enhanced their belief because they saw a man do something that was outside the realm of nature. Water doesn't change to grape juice without divine intervention. It just doesn't work. So their faith was strengthened and it demonstrated Jesus' power over nature. And this was just the first time that they were going to see in the book of John alone. There's the raising of Lazarus and the feeding of the 5,000. Both things that where he had power over nature. We know he walked on the water and he calmed the storm. And it amazed those people that believed on him. But I want us to finish up this way. Whatever Jesus said do, we should do. You know, if you think about what we call the gospel plan of salvation, there's a scripture for every one of those things that Jesus said. John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Luke 13:3-5, nay, I say, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever shall confess me before man, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever denieth me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And Mark 16:15-16, the summary of that is this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And then there's Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That takes all of the things that we mentioned in the gospel plan of salvation, and Jesus is attributed with a remark about all of them. Whatever he tells you to do, do. That's the attitude we should have. And when we do so, then we'll obey the gospel and put him on in baptism so that we can be in Christ, so that we can be a born-again child of God, headed on the road to heaven. And that we can be faithful to him until we die or he comes back, whichever comes first. If you're here this evening and you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?